Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Aren't you so glad to be here on this first Sunday of Hope? So good. We are going to be starting our Changed in the Waiting study. So today is your first day of Advent, your first study that you will read. And I was just going to read a little bit of the intro for us this morning. Advent is the first season of the Christian calendar, beginning the new year for the global church, and we begin another cycle of time by orienting ourselves to the reality that we are people in waiting. By definition, this means we are people of expectation and hope, but also of longing and sadness. Perhaps more importantly, it means that we are not people who can make happen the things for which we wait. Although we may concede it reluctantly, waiting makes us admit we are not the ones controlling the story we find ourselves in. Isn't that so good? Our time spent waiting can shape us if we let it. If we assume that waiting is an empty time to be filled with distractions to keep us occupied, we close ourselves off to its transformative possibility. Change comes as we allow ourselves to sit in the darkness of our waiting and trust that there is more happening than we can make happen. Mm-hmm. Isn't that so good? God is so good. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this amazing, wonderful Sunday of hope that we get to be excited in this Advent season waiting on our Savior. And a change is going to come. We're going to have transformation in our lives through this study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we worship together.
Jesus. Love.
Ladies and gentlemen, so good. All right, let's go ahead and pass the peace. Tell somebody you love them and that Jesus loves them too. Welcome to church.
Good morning, everyone. I woke up this morning and looked out the window, and it was just a blanket of white. It was so beautiful, and like, what a perfect way to wake up and start the morning, you know? All right, lots of great announcements coming up. Check the inserts in the bulletin. We got a t-shirt fundraiser coming up for our children's ministry and our security team, which is pretty cool. So look at that little insert there. The t-shirts are being prepared. If you need help, you know, donations, or if you want to make donations, we want everyone to have one. It looks like maybe we might be wearing them. So that would be really cool. We're gonna try to wear them on January 12th, and that's our end of the year meeting. So, and then also lots of stuff coming up on Saturday, December 7th, which is just coming up in the end of the week. We have our men's breakfast at the Fellowship Hall. That starts at 8:30 a.m. All ages are welcome, young and old. So please bring whoever and just come fellowship and enjoy a delicious meal. Also on Saturday the 7th, the women's ministry are going to gather at the Ferndale Victorian Inn restaurant there at noon. And it looks like it's $30 per person there, and then they're going to do an ornament exchange. Okay, so Melanie's kind of, she's leading that RSVP by Wednesday the latest. So, and that's just this Sunday. So yes, reach out to Melanie. So that way we know how many people to make arrangements for. And then also more Christmas stuff coming up. We have our dress rehearsal for the children's program. That's gonna be Sunday, December 15th, following the church service. Pizza's gonna be provided, it looks like. And then that, our children's performance is going to be on December 22nd at 10 a.m. So, and then we're gonna have a Christmas brunch after that. And then we also have our Christmas Eve service coming up at 5:30 that evening, our candlelit service, and then our end of the year meeting, January 12th, that's going to be 10 a.m. So that's all for the inserts. So just make sure to review those. Also in our bulletin, you know, we have our weekly stuff. That's all going on. prayer requests are in there to know how to pray for the church. So lots of good information, even though they're beautiful. There's lots of good stuff in there. Just read them.
I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen waiting for the morning, more than watchmen waiting for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
On the first Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of hope. This candle reminds us that we have hope even when we suffer, when we lament, and especially when we rejoice. We are grateful when we have cause to celebrate and when our hopes are fulfilled. When our hopes remain unfulfilled, we lament while patiently trusting that one day all will be made right. With the psalmist, we proclaim, "You are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long."
Right, as we near the Christmas season, get ready for the Christmas songs. So this will get you in the spirit if the day after Thanksgiving Day.
Spring of the virgin's womb.
excited for you guys to start this study. I have done this study myself during my Sabbath time before I started here, and it is so good. I just loved it. It really blessed me, so I hope that it does the same for you. Today we are going to be looking at the first candle, hope. And today is the beginning of Advent, and that means a new year is soon upon us. And when that new year begins, we start reflecting on the previous year. We rejoice in our successes. We lament in maybe the failures or hardships that we've had or the losses. We lament recognizing that this world we live in is imperfect. There is war, there's oppression and injustice and brokenness. And oftentimes we feel that brokenness around us. It can feel overwhelming or never ending. But as we come to this first Sunday of Advent, we are reminded that we are a people who hope because of God. Isn't that so good? Because God is who he says he is, now and always will be. Our hope is not unrealistic because we have a God who has promises that are already filled and that are going to be filled. And we can have hope in that those promises are coming. We may live in a reality that is full of brokenness and despair, but we have hope in God, who is continually working to make things right. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. So we're reminded of this promise in Psalms chapter 25. Verses 1 through 10. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Psalms 25, verse 1 through 10 with me. Now the Psalms are a book of prayer for the exiles. So when the Israelite people were in exile, they didn't have their temple with them. So Psalms was kind of like a virtual temple for them. And they would sing these Psalms and bring them back to God's kingdom as they were sung to them in poetry. So please stand as we read God's word together. Psalms 25, 1 through 10. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are not from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his way. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. Dear God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for blessing us with this Psalms. Allow us to be in that place with you, Lord Jesus, today as the Holy Spirit comes in this space. Touch our hearts and soften it to what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So as we see in verse 1 through 3, David is putting his trust in the Lord. And there's some key things I want to pull out right away in Psalms 25, verse 1. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. Now, Lord, in Hebrew, is Yahweh. And as David is saying this, he's implying a personal or covenant relationship with God. So he's coming to, the first thing he says is, God, you are my covenant partner. And then the second one in Hebrew, God is Elohim. It means this majesty or this great power. So then he's focusing on God's great power. And as we discussed last week in that covenant, when they exchanged the belts, they were exchanging that power, that strength. So this is where David's coming from. He sees his Lord, his God, his Yahweh, his Elohim as not only this covenant partner, but power. Do you pray that way when you start your prayer? Lord God Almighty, my covenant partner, my power. Isn't that good? I feel like I need to start praying that way when I open my Bible in the morning. So he sets up this moment with God. And he says, do not let my enemies triumph over me. Do not let me be put to shame or be punished. Because shame will not come to those who trust. Shame will come to those who are treacherous. And in Hebrew, treacherous is unfaithful or faithless. He's talking about the enemy of the Israelite people coming after them who do not believe in God. They are faithless, but he comes before them with the power of God. Remember in that covenant we talked about enemies. He exchanged enemies. So now God, these people who are not faithful in Christ are now God's enemy. What a powerful point, powerful way to start a prayer. And then in verse 4 through 7, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. David is simply coming to God humbly saying, hey, guide me. I don't know. I don't know the way. I want to trust you for the path that you have set before me. You are God and Savior. And in Hebrew, Savior is Yesha. Do I have that one, Matt? And that means victory because God has come to be the victor for his people, his Israelite people. And David knows that. He says, you are my victory. And I'm going to walk in your ways to be victorious. Guide me. My hope is in you. Amen. Hope in Hebrew is kewah. And I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing that totally correctly. But it means he waited patiently. So David is in this place not only trusting that God is going to guide him, but he is waiting patiently for what God is going to do in this moment. He knows he will be the victor in the end, but he is waiting patiently for what he is going to see God do in his life. Remember your mercy and love. Psalm 25:6. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And David is saying this because he's reminding God of the patriarchs, Abraham, Moses, the Israelite people, all those people that God has been in covenant with on Mount Sinai with the Israelites and all the promises God has kept. David is reminding God, hey, I am in covenant with you as you were in covenant with them. And those promises that you kept with them, I know, God, you're going to keep those promises with me. Amen. We are really quiet today. I need a little more talking. Do not remember the sins of my youth. Remember me, for you are good. You're a good God. You are always a good God. You were a good God with Abraham. You were a good God with Moses and the Israelite people. I know you're a good God with me. Do you feel that today?
Yeah.
You serve a good God. A good God. In verses 8 through 10, we see that so clearly as David sees the Lord as good and upright. Instruct me, God, the sinner. Instruct us in our sin as we humbly come before you. Guide us and teach us your ways. Psalms 25:10, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. Amen. Notice we're saying covenant a lot. Because we have hope in God because he made a covenant with us. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we're in that relationship, that promise, and we just get to sit in that hope. That is our hope, church. That is our hope. You are in covenant with God. God desires all of us, not just some of us. He desires all of his creation to be in covenant with him and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. He is faithful. So why is this scripture so important for us today? Why is it important for us to break all this down and read this and light a candle and talk about hope? Well, The first thing is the connection with God. Our connection with God is important, just as it was then for the Israelite people while they were in exile. And Psalms was written for God's people to communicate with God. And there are a variety of psalms that we read within the Bible in that book. There's praise, there's hymns, there's psalms of lament, thanksgiving, remembrance, wisdom, and royal. God is so good. He gave a way for his people to be in connection and communion with him. And more than half the psalms are attributed to King David, as we read today. Just as in Psalms 25, they are acrostic poems in Hebrew, which means that first letter of each verse begins with the succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And this would allow the people to memorize these poems so they would be in their heart. They would be able to walk around and share the scriptures together. And I remember as a little girl in school, we would have to memorize these huge scriptures. And I would think, this is crazy. In third grade, you know, I'd have to memorize the entire chapter 10 of Luke, let's say. And I would bring that home and I would feel so overwhelmed. But it felt so good, even at that age, to be memorizing God's word. Amen. And years ago, when I was in women's Bible study, my daughter was a little baby and we did the study of James with Beth Moore. Has anyone knew the women done that one? So good. Okay. Did you memorize the book of James? Okay. She tells you to memorize the book of James. I did that. Now, I could not come up here and recite it now. But that was one of the most amazing times in a devotion that I've done because I was constantly having to read the book of James. And I was reading it while I was on the treadmill, and I would listen to it on my runs outside, and I would listen to it when I went to bed, and I would have scripture written on my shower wall. I'm sure my husband was like, what in the world? I mean, all over it, so that way I could practice it even when I was in the shower. I mean, I was living and breathing the word of God. And that makes a difference in your life. And that's why it was so important for the writers of Psalms to create an easy way for God's people in exile to have this virtual temple.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
So, life with God. Psalms 25 reflects on events that shape the life of the one praying. Do you see that? As David is saying this prayer and who he is, it's not a single moment, but about a life in relationship with God, the whole relationship. It's not just pieces put together, just as Advent is not about just today, one Sunday, or one year, but when God's people waited for the Messiah, just as we are waiting for the Messiah. It's an entire life of faith as the church lives with God. Do you believe that you are living with God right now? In relationship, together here, fellowshipping together. That's what we're doing. We're living this life. And Advent isn't about trusting God's promise even while... Advent is about trusting God's promise even while waiting for the promise to be filled. Mm-hmm. I would say that's the hardest part, is having to wait. But we have hope. And this last piece of this is surrendering to God and being transformed by God. And I believe this is the most important one of all. David is crying out to God in surrender in the first opening verse. And he calls on God and God alone. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. He brings it right to the forefront. David does not call on anyone else but God. And by trusting and surrendering to God, he admits he does not know everything. I don't know everything, God. I humbly come before you, trusting in your hope. Because he wants to know God's way. I don't know about you, but I want to know God's way. That's the only way. Psalms 25:9, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. David was willing to be transformed in his time of waiting and hope. And that transformation leads to action. So if we choose to be transformed by God, then we will also become a people who are upright, loving, and faithful. We will become a people who will find hope. In despair, we will spread light in our world of darkness and share love in a world of hate. We are called to be the hope in this world, in this season, and we should be sharing the hope with our friends and our neighbors. So here is your challenge this morning. Your challenge is, how are you sharing hope this month? Who are you sharing it with? Who are you inviting into your oikos or your family to let them know and see how you have hope in your own family? How are you living that hope each day? So God calls you to be this witness in this world, to worship and to lean on God and trust Him. In this Advent season, as we wait on God, He has given us a promise that brings hope, even in our lament and our despair. That's who we get to surrender to. Surrender to God in hope in order to be transformed and take action. Move as God moves. God continues to remind us that God is trustworthy and loving. We can look back to those patriarchs that we discussed last Sunday with Abraham and Moses and the people of Israel on Mount Sinai, making covenants with God, and we can read His promises being fulfilled throughout God's word. Do you believe, church, that you have hope in God today? Amen. That you will walk out this building and God's love will shine through you because other people in this community will see your hope? Yep. That's what we need to do today. That's what we are going to do this week. Because hope is not passive, but active. And God is calling God's people, that is all of us, to be the hope of Christ in this world. Amen. Can we say that together? Hope is not passive, but active. And God is calling God's people to be the hope of Christ in our world. That is what God is calling us to do. Let's please stand as we close with our last song this morning.
Long lay the world.
entry, What to Do in the Darkness. Go slowly, church. Consent to it. But don't wallow in it. Know it as a place of germination and growth. Remember the light. Take an outstretched hand if you find one. Exercise unused senses and find the path by walking in it. Practice trust and watch for the dawn. Amen. Dear God, thank you so much. In you, Lord, our God, we put our trust in you. We trust you with all things, and we pray, God, for a transformation in us that is active, that those around us in our community would see our hope in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go out this week and tell somebody about Jesus.